So welcome to the Meaningful Jobs podcast season 3. I'm your host Adrian, and today we're extremely honored to welcome Liz Du, who is the Global Director of Talent Brand and Recruitment Marketing in Marvel Technology. So how are you doing, Liz? Hope you're fine.
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
So, before talking about what it's like working for Marvel Technology, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? So what's the role of a Global Director of talent? Like, do you oversee the entire recruitment process in your company? And, what are your, day-to-day responsibilities?
Certainly. Talent branding or employer branding is such a unique and interesting role, right? It blends a marketing background with all things talent. And what I get to do is really about telling the stories and showcasing who we are as a company and helping connect our purpose, our mission, our culture with prospective employees. So it's really about kind of packaging all of this goodness, showcasing the unique value proposition that we offer as an employer, with the intention of attracting talent, certainly, but also equally important is it's about really building our culture as well, right? So it's typically or traditionally an external facing role, but it's equally important that it involves, the internal employees as well.
So I'm not sure if you agree with this, but I don't think employer branding is a concept that has been around for a long time. Would you say it's a relatively new concept?
I think so, certainly. Yeah, I think there are certain companies out there that may have had this function in place for the last, 10, 15 years, but I would say for the vast majority of companies, it's quite nascent. Definitely has emerged much more as an important function in companies only in the last 5 years or so.
So can you tell us how you got into employer branding? Like, what's your career path?
Absolutely. I came out to the Silicon Valley in California about 20 years ago. So certainly, very naturally found myself in the tech industry. In fact, I caught the very end of the dot-com boom of the 2000s, which certainly dates me a little bit. And I had pursued a career in marketing because for me, it combined the left brain and right brain. I was an art major in school, but I've always loved all things data. So for me, marketing absolutely made sense, and I've always loved it. So I built my career and my marketing skills across a number of companies in the tech sector on the consumer side and on the B2B side. I started out in digital marketing, gained experience in branding, integrated marketing, campaigns, and media. So I ultimately, developed my skill set and was leading full end-to-end marketing strategies for business lines in my last couple of roles. And I was thriving in my career. I was, good at it and that I enjoyed it. And the logical path for me would have been to pursue, at higher levels within marketing organizations, ultimately CMO. But I came to a point in my career where I felt something was missing and I wanted to make a change. I wanted to do something that felt a bit more meaningful to me and was more connected to people versus, selling products. And I was incredibly fortunate to have amazing leaders at that time who believed in me, believed in my worth, and genuinely wanted to help me pursue a path to stay within the organization. So I, my immediate leader didn't just support me in exploring roles. She actually advocated for me and sponsored me, into other groups to take on something new. So the opportunity presented itself to combine all things marketing with all things talent and people. And I built, at that time I was at ServiceNow and I built the company's employer brand from the ground up. And it, really became my passion. I didn't realize how much I was going to enjoy and love it, but that's where, I pivoted and have been ever since.
Wow, I think that's a lot of content that you just gave out. And I'm fascinated by, your switch from marketing into a more niche area, which is recruitment marketing, which is where you're now. So you set your original career path is to become CMO, and you've figured out something was missing. Can you point your finger exactly as in what was missing?
I think for me, my why changed. And what I mean by that is in everybody's career, they have a why. Why do they do it? You know, what's important to them? And I think that why can change over time. Earlier on, that was about, you know, becoming a great marketer, growing my skills. You know, it might have been about title and, you know, salary and things like that at different points in my life. And I reached this stage where that was no longer important to me. You know, and for personal reasons, for a lot of different reasons, I felt like I needed to be more connected with people. So that led me to really reevaluate what I was doing and where I was going and seek change.
Right, I see. Because I think you made a good point there, because a lot of young people starting out, they might be just thinking about, you know, climbing up the corporate ladder. And it's not until a certain point in life where you begin to reflect and think about whether that's something you actually want. So can you tell us, you know, having made this pivot now, are there any particular, you know, career goals that you have in the long run?
Yeah, I think what became my why ultimately was a connection with people. And I started to think about, you know, with age comes wisdom, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So
not necessarily, but maybe in your case.
Very valid, yes. Mm-hmm. For me, with age came a little bit of wisdom. And I, you know, again, my why changed. And what I wanted to focus more on was connecting with people in a way that felt really meaningful, not just connecting with a buyer of a product, but leaving an impact. You know, there's something incredibly rewarding about being able to showcase a company's culture to an individual and sort of find that match, find that, you know, aha moment where they say, oh my gosh, I can see myself here. Like I love this place. You know, this is my passion. And to be able to do that at scale and not just, you know, individually through networking or mentorships was incredibly appealing to me. You know, so I want my legacy not to be how much pipeline I drove or, you know, how many X products I sold. I want it to be helping people get to where they want in their careers, whether that's through employer branding or through my own teams, you know, and the way that I engage with people in my own organization and mentor them and help them grow.
So, you know, before talking about more deeply about your company and how you manage to establish closer, you know, connections with employees, I'm sure you've encountered challenges during your career. Can you tell us one of the biggest challenges that you faced and how you managed to wriggle yourself out of it?
Yeah, I certainly think that, you know, taking my employer branding experience, I think there are massive challenges. As you said, it's a fairly new function, right? A fairly new niche area of marketing, if you will. And, you know, because of that, there's not necessarily an established value within a lot of companies, you know, so it's very niche, it's under-resourced, you know, it's the first team to be cut in a downturn, right? So I think particularly right now, this last year, I've seen so many incredibly talented and amazing individuals, you know, without jobs or job prospects because of that. And so I think, you know, there's a few things that I've had to work through in that. It's really A, being data driven and really showcasing the value of what this function brings to an organization. And I think having a marketing background is incredibly valuable in that. Whereas a lot of people that find themselves in employer branding roles have more of an HR background or recruiting. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that muscle isn't necessarily built in, you know, to a lot of their expertise. So having that is very, very valuable. Also making sure that you're in a company where the leadership understands the value and gets it, right? And doesn't think of this as an afterthought. I think there's a natural tendency for companies to think, hey, we only need to invest here in branding, in, you know, employer branding specifically when we're in a period of massive growth. Yeah. And when there is a pause on hiring, instead of looking at that as, okay, now everybody has to go, that's not important. What you need, you know, is to work in a team and to convince those leaders and to help them understand that that's the time to double down. That's the time to kind of keep things going. This isn't, you know, branding in any company, whether it's employer or corporate, isn't something you can turn on and off, very quickly, right? It really needs to be an ongoing initiative.
So yeah, I think you touched upon a great subject, the recession period. Because what I find it strange nowadays is that the economy doesn't seem to be in recession, but a lot of people feel that it is in recession. The job opening numbers are still pretty strong, but again, a lot of people seem to be out of work. So how do you explain this phenomenon at the moment?
That's a tough one, and I think we've seen it. We've seen a lot of hard hits here in the Silicon Valley, in particular, right, in the tech sector. It does feel like we're in an extended limbo period, which is always frustrating and always challenging for people because there's so much unknown, and I don't think there have been those hard, immediate, the bottom fell out of the industry, for example, right? Where, okay, you've hit rock bottom, now we can rebuild. This is an extended period of just, this ongoing, let's see what happens next week, small layoffs, et cetera, et cetera. So, navigating that, I think in this world, again, it's about staying very, very focused on the long term. Again, understanding that this isn't something, I get questioned even now about, well, why do we want to launch this, talent related campaign if we don't have recs open, right? And the answer is, this isn't about an immediate, fill the funnel necessarily. This is about, continuing to keep our culture top of mind. And as I said earlier, it's equally important to continue to restate the cultural values, what's great about the company, to its existing employees, right? To re-recruit them even in times of extreme constraint and unease. You want to make sure that they're making an active choice to be at your company. And so I look at talent branding as, very much focused on that side of it as well.
So how do you make sure that you can prove perhaps to your team members or to your boss that what you're doing is effective and that people are recognizing your brand and actually understanding its values? Like, how do you I guess translate the things you're doing into easily interpretable data for people around you?
It's a tough one. I mean, it's similar to anybody in a, corporate brand organization, right? Oftentimes you need to rely on external studies or an external metrics, right, to validate what you're doing. And that can be a number of things in employer branding, like Glassdoor ratings and reviews and external accolades and awards and things like that. It's not an exact science, as we all know, right? There are a couple of companies out there that are, actively looking at different measurements through social listening, right, to compare a company with talent competitors. So there are opportunities out there. Internally, there's ways you can embed some of those questions into your voice of employee surveys, right, to really start to get a gauge on how are people feeling about the company, how are, some of the new, some of the messages around your value proposition, how is that landing? How's that resonating? So there's a ways to do that too. And then, when you are actively hiring, certainly a lot of your talent acquisition metrics are indicators as well, right? How are we closing candidates, right? Offer acceptance rates and things like that. It's a little bit more challenging to look at those metrics in a time where hiring is, much more reduced. It's, truly at the end of the day, branding or employer branding relies on a set of metrics, both internal and external.
So a little bit about your company, I guess a lot of people, when they think about Silicon Valley, they just think about technology, but they might not necessarily know about what that entails. So can you tell our listeners what your company does and a biggest reason why people should join your company?
Absolutely. So Marvell Technology has been around for 25 years. And to your point, a lot of people haven't heard of it. We're in the semiconductor space, which, isn't a particularly, to unless you're an engineer, right? It's often sort of a dismissed, like, oh, that's a, a stodgy industry, or that's not something that's kind of fun and sexy because it's not a consumer-facing product. But if you think about the infrastructure of technology, right, 5G networks, AI, data centers, autonomous cars, every single one, every kind of technology relies on chips, you know, that's semiconductor.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really interesting for me. Quite frankly, I'm new to the industry since I joined Marvell. And again, you know, not very familiar, very different type of talent than I've, you know, been a part of recruiting in other organizations. It's very, very, you know, as I said, it's very technical. So we have the most incredible, you know, smart engineers from all over the world working at this organization. But it was kind of like a diamond in the rough. You know, when I came on board, I didn't know certainly anything about them externally and started asking around, okay, so what makes this culture special? And the, you know, I uncovered some amazing, you know, beautiful commonalities, you know, that people from all over the world shared, like the warmth of the culture, the trust, the respect, the collaboration, you know, of course, the technology that you get to work on. So it was so fun for me to start to learn about this. And then, you know, my job is to then tell the world about it, right? So I get to meet with employees of all different functions and levels and, you know, start to ask them these questions and in their own words, start to really showcase who we are. So that's been incredibly rewarding.
So what do you think makes your company, I guess, stand out from others? And why should, you know, candidates, you know, pick your company?
I think, you know, listen, there's obviously quite a few different semiconductor companies out there.
Yeah.
And I have worked, you know, in my career in the Silicon Valley, I have seen a lot of different cultures, you know, in the tech sector. And what is so unique about Marvell is this sort of warmth, this humbleness, this, there's absolutely no arrogance within the company. Truly, people actually want to help each other succeed. And we are a leaner company, right? Comparatively to, you know, some of the big names out there in tech. So people that work there, you know, not only are invited into this beautiful culture and feel this sense of belonging and connection, but they get the opportunity to work on things that they wouldn't otherwise, right? Oftentimes in larger tech companies, you become, you know, a very small fish in a very large pond, right? There's larger design teams for technology. And so what I've found here and what I've heard from engineers is that we have the opportunity to have much more of an impact on the technology and on the end products because of this smaller, more intimate environment. So people look at it as, you know, it's this incredible learning environment.
Yeah, I think you made a good point. You know, sometimes when you work for the biggest companies, you might just feel like you are just a really small potato, a small player in your company. But, you know, if you work for a relatively smaller company, you might find yourself with, you know, more control over what you do, or, you know, people are friendlier, as you said. So when you screen and select candidates, what are the key things you look at?
You know, obviously it's, you know, technical capabilities are certainly critical in engineering hiring. But I think, you know, we take pride in hiring the best of the best, you know, from, again, all walks of life, from different backgrounds, you know, people who are experts in their field. So subject matter expertise, of course, is always going to come first and foremost. But I would say we're also looking for people that, you know, feel a connection to our purpose and to our culture. We unveiled our employee value proposition this year after a tremendous amount of research and really listening to our employees. And at the highest level, the way we express that value proposition is own what's next. And that has so many different meanings, right? Ownership of your career, ownership of your work, ownership of, you know, your impact on this incredible technology. And so what we want is to make sure that we're bringing on board people who truly, you know, who find that meaningful, you know, who that resonates very much, so that we can, you know, obviously we want diversity of thought and we want people to come in from different walks of life that can, you know, lift us up and expand our thinking. But we also want people who share that same sort of vision and that mentality of, hey, I'm going to lean in and I'm going to take ownership of this.
Yeah, I think ownership is a key thing you said. So are there any ways in which you empower your employees to take ownership of what they do? And How do you support them?
Absolutely. There's, you know, I think what it comes down to, and, you know, what I said earlier about influencing the culture, right? The talent brand isn't just the picture we paint outside. It's the way that we make sure that that is brought to life in the employee experience. So, you know, that was super top of mind for me in developing this work. And the way that we do encourage that is through, you know, a range of different ways, right? Empowering people to, you know, learn and grow and develop in their careers. So it's access to trainings, to leadership development courses, to, you know, technical, you know, expertise, you know, tuition reimbursement, things like that, where they're truly empowered to build the skills that they're going to need, not just for their current role, but for roles down the road. You know, it's having the ability to explore other roles internally when they're looking for change, and having that internal mobility support. You know, it's being able to raise your hand and say, I want to work on this project and this technology, and being supported in doing so. So it comes to life in a range of different ways.
So I also want to ask about, how your company contributes perhaps to different communities. So, you know, a lot of the younger generations nowadays, they don't just want a paycheck, but they want to understand the meaning behind their work, how they are contributing to society. So, you know, for people who join Marvell, how do you make sure that they are contributing to society and their communities?
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing, and I agree with you. It's absolutely, top of mind for a lot of talent audiences, especially younger talent. And you know, the way that I look at it at Marvell is two ways. One, what we're developing, the technology, the products that we actually produce, they are not fleeting trends. That is not throwaway technology. This is something that's actually building the infrastructure, you know, for incredible innovations to be built on, right? So it's building that the future of technology, which is really meaningful, I would say. And knowing that you're contributing to something enduring that's not going to be in the landfill next week, that's really valuable. And, you know, it's important to me, it's important to a lot of people. And I would say beyond that, you know, we definitely are very heavily focused on our environmental impact and making sure that we're giving back to our communities. So we have a number of different philanthropic efforts. You know, our team members get, you know, access to multiple, you know, days off throughout the year where they can participate in volunteer opportunities. We have partnerships certainly with a few key organizations, both in the Bay Area and around the world. So a lot of, you know, a lot of focus on their company matches, things like that with regard to donations. And then, you know, we also look at our footprint. We, in fact, just released our new ESG report, right? Environmental, social, and governance. And one of our big focus areas is reducing our carbon footprint. You know, that is water uses, that is, you know, power usage in our products. So that is a keen focus to make sure that we are setting science-based targets for ourselves. We're holding ourselves accountable for reductions in waste and, you know, improvements in efficiency in our solutions. So it, you know, it's on the product side and it's on the people side.
I see. So, you know, moving to the last part of our interview, I want to ask about, more about the meaning of work. So you said a lot of times how you value the importance of human connections at work and, you know, beyond work. So how do you make sure you constantly achieve this? And, you know, because there must be days where you feel burnt out, that you feel like, not as motivated, or that, you know, money might be the only thing that is keeping you going. You know, how do you overcome, like, motivational problems and making sure that the human connection is, you know, still there?
Yeah, great question. I think, as I said, it's about knowing your why at any moment in time. And for me, that why, like I said, is those personal connections. And it's kind of, you know, having those conversations with yourself. If I walked away tomorrow, if everything went away tomorrow, what would I leave behind? What is my legacy? And again, that's going to shift over time and it's going to be different for a lot of different people. But it's always staying true to yourself and asking yourself those hard questions. I reevaluate my personal goals and my career goals every year. And I kind of sit down and I take the time to really flesh through, okay, what are the most important roles that I'm playing in my life right now? One of them is talent brand leader, but there's obviously, for all of us, there's many different hats you wear, many different roles you play. And it's, really understanding, if I have to lean into this role more, where am I sacrificing? Where am I pulling back? And finding always, navigating that balance within your life. We all know that we can't do everything perfectly at the same time all the time. So it's always, I keep myself in check that way. And again, I ask myself if I walked away tomorrow, who did I help at this company? Where, how did I impact somebody else's career or trajectory, or even as simple as how did I make that one person's day better? For me, that's what human connection and that's what's important to me at this point in my life.
Lastly, for people who might be, struggling in their careers, this could be people who have seemingly good jobs but are feeling, stressed, burnt out, or, people who might be starting out and don't know what industry to get into. What would you be your advice to people who might be, feeling a bit challenged in their careers at the moment?
That's a great question. Take a step back and listen, really listen to yourself. For me, writing things out, I've always found super valuable. Like, what do I love about what I'm doing right now? What am I missing in this role or in this company? What are those gaps? Can I find those within the company? Sometimes you can through, internal connections and networking and finding stretch projects that offer you, more meaning or maybe growing a skill that'll give you fulfillment at that moment. And sometimes, you find through that self-assessment that where you are at that point in time, whether it's the company or whether it's the role or the function that you're in, that's not the right fit for you. And that can be a tough pill to swallow, especially when you're building and trying to grow and trying to create something for yourself. I've pivoted more than once in my career. And yeah, sometimes you have to take a step back in order to do that or sacrifice your salary. But it's really important, certainly, listen, money is important to, we all need to pay the rent or the mortgage, but it's super important that you not get short-sighted and get backed into a corner, in chasing that salary or in chasing that title. It's always important to kind of take that step back and say, okay, let's play the long game here. What is going to offer me that satisfaction in the long term? And whether it's taking a course or whether it's, making a real change, oftentimes that's more feasible than you think it is.
Well, it's been an pleasure talking to you, Liz. I learned a lot about your first philosophy in life, your career, and your company as well. So yeah, it was great having you here, and hope you enjoyed our interview, and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Adrian. It's been great.